for you.
Well, I appreciate if you're still here. I think a day of practice, I think, is one of the most difficult time periods. Sometimes it's easier to go, like, for a week, because it's like, okay, I'm just going. Or if it's just a couple hours, that's okay. But a day can be hard. And I find, you know, the late afternoon kind of, it can, I often find if I'm participating, that's when I kind of, the energy is hard to sustain. So I'm glad everybody's getting their cup of tea and getting some caffeine and all that. I thought we'd do a little meditation for Thich Nhat Hanh, the present moment, wonderful moment practice. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this, but it's where I learned to smile in practice. And it's interesting that now the neuro-Buddhists are, we call them that, are now saying that, you know, well, you know, the research shows, and I've come to be very skeptical of any sentence that begins "the research shows," that when you smile, some things are, you know, endorphins, or there's a million little muscles, and don't know, but there's some effect, right? Although, you know, if you're pissed off and you smile, it doesn't work. Fuck you! I'll smile. It just creates more tension. So you have to... It's only within reason, you know. So anyway, this is a practice with five phrases. In, out, deep, slow. You don't have to remember them. I'm going to tell you again. In, out. And this goes with the breath. In, out, deep, slow, calm, ease, smile, release, present moment, wonderful moment. And it's actually in at least two of my books. It's in my workbook, and it's in my The Burning Desire, the book about higher power. But so you can do this practice. You can repeat the five phrases with five consecutive breaths, or you can do work with one phrase for a few minutes and then the next phrase for a few minutes. So I'm going to guide you that way, the second way. I'm just going to keep cueing you to use the phrases as you're practicing. So it's a concentration practice because it's about staying with the breath and the words, but it's not as boring as most concentration practices. It's got a little juice to it, and I hope you'll find that it's kind of pleasant. It can bring up some pleasant feelings. And concentration itself is pleasant, so hopefully all of that will combine to have a good effect. I was going to do the laughter Buddha. Don't let me forget that, okay? After the Hawaiian laughter yoga. See, I'll keep saying that, but, you know, if I don't do it, you can't say that I really had the intention. Thought I had the intention. Okay, we'll do it right after this. Okay, just settling into the body, closing the eyes, and connecting with the sensations of the breath. And for this practice, it's preferable to follow the breath at the nostrils, although you can do it at the belly, if that's your, you know, the way you like to practice. So feeling the breath and repeating the words silently, in, out. Feeling the sensations, in, out. Letting the words go in tandem and in rhythm, whether the breath is faster or slower, shorter or longer, the words just fitting with the rhythm. In, out. Sounds come and go, thoughts pass through the mind. The breath continues in, out. Now moving to the second set of words, deep, slow. Deep on the inhalation, slow on the exhalation. Deep, slow. Feeling the sensations of breath, repeating the words with the breath. Deep, slow. Staying with the sensations. Moving to the next set of words. Calm, ease. Breathing in calm, breathing out ease. The breath and the words merged, the mind enveloped in that experience. Calm, ease. to the next set of words, smile, release. Breathing in, smile. Breathing out, release. Staying with the actual sensation of breath, and the words merged with that sensation. Smile, release. And the final set of words, breathing in, present moment, breathing out, wonderful moment, present moment, wonderful moment. Now letting go of the words. Letting go of the breath. And we'll practice listening. Notice what you can hear right now. First, pick out each individual sound. Outside, in the room, in your body. Now listen to this sound as it arises. And have a sense of opening to all the sounds at once, as though listening to an orchestra, letting all the instruments blend. different instruments stand out and recede while others come forward. With mindfulness, nothing is a distraction. Anything that can be sensed mindfully. That means without resistance or judgment. With acceptance. Investigation. I just wanted to do that last piece because someone mentioned during the break that it was a struggle for them working with the sound of the airplanes going over. At least we assume that they are airplanes because we have heard a similar sound in the past. And when we hear it now, and in the past we saw, that sound's coming from that, and that thing that we see up there, that we call that an airplane. And so then when we're sitting here, and we hear that sound again, although it could be somebody playing Jimi Hendrix on 11 with, you know, through big speakers, we assume that it's an airplane. Anyway, that's about perception. But it's easy, you know, you come to the Buddhist center and you assume it's supposed to be quiet. We're meditating. Why did they put this center here? Why don't they move it? What? You know, I need to go to that place out in the country, that monastery Kevin was talking about. I bet it's really quiet out there. You'll get out there, you'll be like, too damn quiet out here. Or, have you ever been outside at night in nature? It ain't quiet. You know? It's like, oh, let's go camping, it'll be so quiet. What is that sound? So, I find listening to be a really good practice. I'm a musician, so I like listening to the different tonal qualities. And especially, you know, these with the planes, you can listen to them arising and getting louder and louder, and they fade. So it's like a perfect kind of arc of arising and passing, of impermanence. It's a perfect example of impermanence. And noticing the not liking, and to see, if you can see, this is like a key aspect of practice, if you can see the difference between the experience and the not liking of the experience. This is what the Buddha talked about, the two darts of experience. The first dart is the inevitable unpleasantness of certain experiences. And here he is talking about physical pain, but we could take this as another example. I don't know if you would call that physical pain. There's a sound, and you find it unpleasant. Okay. That's not really a problem. It's just that's an unpleasant sound. But then your mind goes, I don't like that. I wish it'd go away. I can't meditate. All the stories. Okay. That's the second dart. That's the one that you are creating. You know? The first one, yeah, you can't control the fact that you stubbed your toe. But, you know, when you stub your toe, do you go, God, I'm such an idiot, or why did they put that thing there? That's the second dart. You're adding on suffering. You're creating suffering. There's pain, and then there's suffering, right? Pain is inevitable. Suffering is what we add on by our mental resistance to it. It's the same thing with these. It's like, okay, can you notice as it gets louder, the part of you that's getting more and more resistant? Like, oh, it's getting louder, I don't like. You know, and then can you let go of that? And maybe you can and maybe you can't. I'm not saying, oh, you know, if you're a real Buddhist, if you're really spiritual, you'll just let go. I mean, right, you know, we start by just seeing it. I mean, this is how we come out of addiction as well, right? We start by realizing I've got a problem. We come out of denial. I feel the pain of my addiction. Before I got sober, I didn't feel it. I didn't really know. It was only that it was that waking up to the suffering that allowed me to then begin the process of letting go. So explore around those things. No, this is a great thing to take into your life. Where is there pain in your life? Where is there resistance? What part of that is you deciding something isn't acceptable? And what part of it is just the inevitable pain? This is like the serenity prayer. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can. So the prayer is actually saying, to some extent, that it takes courage to let go of my resistance, of my judgment, of all those things. I don't know, courage, I guess heart, you know, courage coming from the root heart. So.